Hello, this is Dr. Laura Hannes-Webb, author of The Gift of ADHD. I'm going to be talking about how you can use ADHD coaching to treat people who may be struggling with addictions but are in what we would call pre-contemplation, which means that they don't really think they have a problem. It's kind of a big fancy word for in denial. So what you'll find is that many people who are diagnosed with ADHD may actually be struggling with addiction and have been misdiagnosed. So for example, a person who is drinking a lot at night or smoking a lot of pot in the next morning may have trouble concentrating. They may have trouble following through on things. They may have trouble getting started, and that can be because of the effects of withdrawal from the drugs or alcohol. Similarly, a person who's spending a lot of time intoxicated is going to equally be challenged with following through, paying attention, and keeping their promises. So what you'll see is that it can be very easy to misdiagnose someone who's in the early stages or even the late stages of addiction with ADHD. In fact, 52% of people who have ADHD have an addiction compared to 27% of people who are in the non-ADHD population. Now, there's lots of different studies with different numbers, but I think that one is kind of represents the general difference, that it's almost two times as many people with ADHD are going to have an addiction. Now, one of the hardest parts about treating addiction is that although it's a life-threatening disease, people don't want treatment for it. And medically, that doesn't make sense. And in the sense of if someone has something that could take their life, why would they not seek treatment? And that has to do with a culture that can glamorize drug and alcohol use such that it seems like it's a good thing to do. And of course, not all use is abuse, and not all abuse is dependence. So there's definitely people who can use alcohol and drugs, and there's people who are using it, and they're creating problems in their life but are not actually dependent on it physiologically. And then, of course, there are people who are using it because if they don't, they're going through severe withdrawal. And in spite of these problems in living, many people don't seek treatment because they can fool themselves by saying, I have to use alcohol and drugs because my problems are so big. And one of a great treatment outcome can often be when people realize that their problems are so big because of their alcohol and drug use. So another thing to keep in mind about addiction is that there's no such thing as a false positive. What does that mean? It means nobody ever gets diagnosed with addiction, and in fact, they don't have it. So for example, have you ever met anyone who was actually drinking two beers a night and they went out of their way to tell you that they're drinking eight beers a night? People don't tend to say that they have a problem with drugs or alcohol when in fact they don't. But as we all know, it is very, very common, and in fact almost a defining feature, that people underreport their use. And what that means is, you know, they may say, oh, I'm just drinking a couple days a week, and maybe they're drinking every single day of the week. So it's important to keep this in mind when, as for why I would make a recommendation, it's almost a punchline here in that it doesn't seem to make sense, but when you think of it this way, it does. How do we treat all of those people who don't believe that they have a problem, but who clearly do? And it may even, in fact, be at the level of being a life-threatening problem. So because there is so much diagnostic confusion that can happen with ADHD, and what I mean by that is if someone has ADHD, actually, even with the right diagnosis, chances are high that they have an addiction in addition, because ADHD is about impulsiveness and stimulation seeking, and drugs and alcohol are, when it turns into an addiction, it also is about stimulation seeking. It's also about that impulsiveness, not inhibiting, you know, the use of alcohol or drugs. And it also, one of the executive functioning components is not being able to stop stumbling once you're started. And so that maps also onto ADHD. So many people would be much more acceptable, would find it much more acceptable to get coaching for ADHD. And so it can be a way to get people into treatment and without acknowledging that they have a substance abuse problem. So again, pre-contemplation means you don't think you have a problem with substance use and you're not ready for treatment. And so Motivational interviewing is a tool that is used to treat specifically addictions. But one way of defining motivational interviewing is any operation that increases the probability of entering into an active stage of change. So ADHD coaching is very effective in getting people to make changes in their life. It's very simple. That's what it means. ADHD coaching means I have goals in my life and I want to achieve them. And so my experience and observation and recommendation is that if a person doesn't think they have a problem, that you may gently suggest that they find an ADHD coach or a therapist for ADHD, a clinical psychologist would maybe be even better, and that they use that time to solve their real life problems. And again, I say the biggest shift that happens here is people began to see that the drug and alcohol use, they may not admit that they have a problem with it, that they're addicted to it, that they're abusing it. They may not at all believe that, but they will almost always come to see that it is interfering with the goals that they have for themselves. Those goals may be, I want to be the president of my company. Those goals may be, I want to be a great parent. And so because coaching always involves goal setting, it becomes a very powerful tool for having people see that certain use and abuse of substances is maybe not an addiction, maybe not what another diagnostic term, but interfering with what they want for themselves.